It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 23 is where we're going to be studying today, so please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 23, and we'll begin with verse 1. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit us at our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and follow along today as we read this precious word. It's so wonderful to study. I'm glad that you've joined us today. Genesis chapter 23, beginning to read with verse 1. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, and the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger, a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, O Lord, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me in Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession for a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me, the field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee, bury thy dead. Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession, in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession, for a burying place by the sons of Heth. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's precious word. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. We praise you, Father, that we have your word, that we have your leadership, and we have your guidance, and we need to know that it is not our own philosophy and our own mind that makes up your truth. It is your word, and we need to stay with your word. Know it, Search it, enjoy it. Please, Lord, help us today to do just that as we are studying your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is just a little bit different, isn't it, from what we have had in the past. We have enjoyed looking at Abraham and what's going on in Abraham's life and the offering of his son Isaac and looking at that and then him returning to Beersheba, all these things. And then at the very end of the last chapter, while we look through some names, and I've asked you to remember one name specifically and two really that's going to you're going to hear in not too long from now as we're studying God's Word. One is Nahor, and the other one will be Rebekah. And so, and Milcah, too. Those are three names, I guess, that keep in your mind. Remember those, because they're going to show up here shortly, and you're going to realize why I brought you and made attention, special attention to those names. Now, as we begin here in the 23rd chapter, we find that Sarah was 107 and 20 years old, and so it's kind of different the way they say that, but that comes to be 127 years of age, 127 years old. Now, do you remember, as we were studying through, and we've just said it recently, do you remember how old Sarah was when she had her firstborn, Isaac? Do you remember how old that she was? You're right, she was 90 years old. And so being 90, and if we subtract 90 from the 127, why, you will find 37 years. And so another reason why that I believe that Isaac at the offering was 33 years old. I think we're 4 years past that now as we look at the death and the burial of Sarah, Isaac's mother, Abraham's wife. Sarah came with Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees and went through every step of Abraham's life. We've had the Sarah laughing in the tent as the Lord Jesus, a pre-incarnate Christ, stood before Abraham and proclaimed that you are going to have a child, you and Sarah, and she laughed, remember? And then the Lord Jesus said, Sarah, why do you laugh? She says, I didn't laugh. And yes, you did laugh. Now, you are going to bring forth a son. And she did at the age of 90 years old. But 37 years have passed, and so Isaac now is 37 years old. And as he is 37, Abraham, he was 100 when they had Isaac, and so that would make him 137 years old here. He's 10 years older. And so as we look now at this, and we have the sad story of the burial of Sarah. And so let's just look through these verses of Scripture today. It's wonderful to look through God's Word. Sarah was 107 and 20 years old, and there were the years of Sarah's life. She lived to be 127. Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. Now, if you look on the map and you find Hebron, and you will find as you look through those things, I don't know if you take a lot of time to look at Bible, old Bible maps, but it's very important that you do, because when you're looking, as we continue into the family of Abraham here, why, we're going to come up with the 12 sons, and then you have it turns into the 12 tribes, and then we turn into the two separate nations, Israel and Judah, and it just continues. And so if you don't get the foundation and the grounding here, why, it's kind of difficult to understand, and it is too with the places. And so if you would get your map out, one of the old Bible maps you have maybe in the back of your Bible, or maybe you have a separate book, the Bible Dictionary is another book that would have maps in the back of it. And you have Jerusalem, and then below Jerusalem is Hebron, and then below that is Beersheba. And Hebron's about halfway between Jerusalem and Beersheba. And Beersheba, you know, is quite a ways down south. And that's where we know that Abraham dwelt much of the time. But now we find that Sarah here, she's in Hebron, and we have located that. She has died. And we find Abraham coming to mourn for her and weep for her. Now, I don't know if Abraham was at her side or if he was down at Beersheba when Sarah died. were not real. It's not real clear of that. It says, "And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." I would sooner say that he was present. He was there, and he was there when she died. And it was his love. He enjoyed his life with her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead. Look at that. Just kind of place that in your mind as he comes and kind of bows down before, Sarah just a little bit. And in doing that, why, now we have him standing up. And in standing up, he's got to deal with this now. It's not like today that you call the funeral home and the funeral home comes and they take the body away and they prepare the body and all those things. Death here, when someone died, why, you bury them the same day. And so the problem that Abraham had, Abraham did not have a place to bury. He didn't have that, and so he didn't know. He turned in the very place he was at. Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, "I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." It wasn't a matter of something that needed to be done tomorrow or the next day or the following day. It needed to be done immediately. And so Abraham, today, why many people, very young age, why they already have their burying place picked out. And that's such an important thing. This is where I want to be buried. I think we need to worry more about where we're going to live and how we serve the Lord than where we're going to be buried. But many times, and maybe you're the same way. Maybe you've already got a section of a cemetery purchased, and that's where the rest of your family's at, and you want to be buried next to them. It doesn't matter where you're buried. It matters where you're going to spend eternity. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you a born-again believer? Have you come by faith to Jesus Christ? If you have, then you're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. You're going to walk each day with Jesus Christ in this life, and you're going to walk right into the next life with Him. But if you refuse Jesus Christ, and you do not come by faith to Him, and you do not trust in His precious blood, if you do not believe Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Him alone, then you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, which is totally separated from God. And that's the two places. And so we spend so much time figuring out where we're going to be buried sometimes, I think. We need to spend more time figuring out where we're going to spend eternity and how we spend our time in this life more than worried about where we're going to be buried. Abraham doesn't seem like he had enough thought. Now, he had to know that Sarah was getting close. He himself is 137 years old. So what do we do here? She's 127. He's 137. And Sarah dies. And upon Sarah dying, now he has to figure out what he's going to do. He did not spend his time trying to figure out that I'm going to be buried underneath the tree. I want to be buried on a certain side of the hill. He didn't care about that. The only thing he cared about was living, serving the Lord Jesus. And we have a wonderful example of how he lived and walked by faith in this past chapter, don't we? Well, here's Abraham. Now he has to deal with it because Sarah has died. His dear wife has died. And so he turns to the people where they're at there in Hebron. And he says, I need some place to bury my dead. I am a stranger, a sojourner with you. Verse 4, give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. That's a lot of people today, why they spend so much time mourning their dead. And yes, we're going to miss them. Yes, we loved them. Their life is finished. Now, what they have done in our life to touch our lives, those memories will stay forever. But as far as that old body's concerned, it's going to go right back to the dust. And that's where it came from, and that's where it's going to go back to. And so to bow down before the grave and all those things. You can go down the road and you'll see where this one died and where that one died by a cross or something like that that's along the road, so that they can remember right where they were killed if it was a car wreck or something like that. God never wanted that. You know, bury the dead, and then we continue to love, to serve, and to honor our God. Death is something that is very certain in this life. It's the most certain thing in this life. Death is coming, and the only ones that's going to miss death are those that are here when Jesus Christ comes to take his church away, because they will be taken alive. That's the only ones. Everybody else, until that time, and that time I believe is soon, but right now, if you die right now, death is certain. You're going to have to go into the grave. But where your body is buried is not a big deal. Where you're going to spend eternity is a big deal. And so we find here what goes on in Abraham's life. I'm a stranger. I've read this a couple times already. Verse 4. I am a stranger, a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. Now, we're going to take a look here just a minute. Did the Lord Jesus Christ, did he have purchase a place to be buried in? No, he didn't. His was a borrowed grave. He made no plans for his body for that burial, because you see, he knew in 3 days that he was going to raise from the dead. And with us, immediately upon death, our soul goes someplace, either to heaven or to hell. And so again, to be so worried about the body, be more worried about your soul. Here we find that Abraham, he called and asked these children of Heth what he could do. And they said very clearly, you know, you are mighty among us. You know, he had quite a testimony, didn't he? He had gained much wealth, but I think he was a mighty man in more ways than wealth. And these people knew that. And I think that they had an appreciation for Abraham. They had quite a love for Abraham. And he said, you know, Abraham, whatever you want. Now, they had made some plans, but of course, you see, these children of Heth, they're lost. So, you see, that's the only thing they can kind of do. You know, the Egyptians, they take quite an effort in their burying place, because they believe that that's, you know, they even have food, they have everything else that they take into the tomb that they have. And we almost get that carried away sometimes, I think, in looking at at our burying place and exactly that's the right location, and that's where I'm going to spend eternity. You're not going to spend eternity there, I'm sorry. You're spending eternity in heaven or in hell, depending on whether you know Jesus Christ or you have rejected him. Here we find that Abraham made no work to where he would be buried. Jesus Christ made no thought to where he was going to be buried. That wasn't important. Abraham, that was something that life is important. Death is certain, but it doesn't matter, because the old body is just going to go back to the dust. Hear us, my Lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. They had made some provisions. They were ready. And so here comes Abraham, and he has Sarah, his wife, and she has died. And he has had such an impact upon them that they said to him, any place, wherever you want to be buried, wherever it's going to be at, whatever sepulchre, you kind of go down through and look, and wherever you find one, you pick it out, and that'll be fine. We will give that to you. And he communed with them in verse 8, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me in Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, and he shall give it me for a possession, for a burying place amongst you. And so Abraham was, he didn't ask these people to give him land. He didn't take it. He was more than willing to pay for it. And so they offered any sepulcher, anyone. And again, to the heathen, to the lost, that is a very special place. And so here we have Abraham has picked the place. And it is, entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zohar. He's the one that owns this cave of Machpelah. And he owns that. It's the end of this field right here. And I would like to buy that burying place. And then that way that will be a burying place among you. And Ephron, verse 10, and Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city. And listen to what he has to say. Abraham had offered him money to buy this, but he says, nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, the cave that is therein. I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, my lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury, therefore, thy dead. Look at what this man is saying. Ephron, before all the people, he wanted this to be a public knowledge. Ephron said to Abraham, Abraham, I want to give that to you. That's the kind of position that Abraham had with these people. They felt and appreciated Abraham so much that they were willing to give up their very own sepulcher for Abraham. And he didn't want anything for it. He said that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of the field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that was at the gate, nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it to thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee. Bury thy dead. It's yours. It's yours. Just Abraham, I want to give it to you. But Abraham would not hear of it. He wanted, as many times through Abraham's life, he did not want anyone to say that he had taken advantage of someone or that he had taken from the world. And if you'll remember, when Lot was brought back down, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah there, why, they come to Abraham and says, here, you have all the spoil. You have given our life back. You take the spoil. But Abraham said, no, you know, those that went with me, they can divide what they want. But as far as me, my God will make me rich, not you. And I don't want anybody to say that you, the king of Sodom or Gomorrah, have made me rich. Well, here Abraham is held with that same. No, Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spake to Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead. Ephron at this time now sets a price, 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. The purpose of that statement was, its worth, its value is 400 shekels. But between you and me, the blessings that you have been to me, Abraham, that's nothing. Now, isn't that a wonderful way, in a way that we should be a testimony to the world. You know, the almighty dollar is so important to us sometimes that we sure give out a poor testimony. We're not willing to give up anything. And now here, the roles have changed. Now, this is the world, because Abraham has been such a blessing to them, they are willing to hand this over. And he sets the price because Abraham continued to ask him for a price, and he set the price for 400 shekels of silver. And so, and when he set that, he said, that's what market value is. Now, he said, what's that between us? Abraham, bury your dead. Well, Abraham hearkened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchants. It was what was used of the day. And the field of Ephraim, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure. In other words, he purchased it. This is Abraham's field, and do you know that that is the only thing Abraham ever owned? You see, he moved from place to place. He lived in tents. Abraham did not have a mansion to live in. He was moving from place to place. And here we find that this is the only land he possessed. He was promised the promised land, and it would come, that the nation of Israel would possess all the land of Canaan. And he knew that promise. But this little piece of land here at the corner of this field, the end of the field, he bought. He purchased that. And when he purchased that, that was the place for the dead. He would bury the dead there. And we find that there are some family members, and we'll follow through as we study the scripture, who is going to join Sarah in this field, in this place, this position here. And so now we have the field of which is in Machpelah, which is before Mamre, and Ephron owned it. Abraham has purchased it, and now we find unto Abraham for all the possession of the presence of the children of Heth before all that went in at the gate of his city. This transaction was not made hidden. This transaction was a very public transaction. And so now we find in verse 19, and after this Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan, and the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Now, isn't that something? We begin at the start of this chapter that Sarah is 127 years old, Abraham's 137, Sarah dies, and Abraham sets out to find a place to bury her. He had not made the provision before, but when it came, you bury your dead, and he did. And so we find now this place, and we're going to come back to that. This won't be the first time. We'll return to this this place again and again as we study through the scripture. You know, there's a purpose for studying this. We have now as Abraham has come from Ur of Chaldees, and this is the first record now as we have buried Sarah. And it's a very sad time in Abraham's life. She has lived a very full life, 127 years old, and to give birth to her first child at 90. And she was made young again to have this child. And it's wonderful that as the birth of Isaac came about, now Isaac's 37 years old. And we have finished and completed that in verse 20. We'll begin now when we look at chapter 24. Next time we're together, Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. That's the first verse of chapter 24. I want you to think about Abraham, his faith, and who his faith was in. His faith was in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I hope that your faith is the same. I hope that you have come by faith to Jesus Christ. I hope that you have trusted in Jesus Christ. Because you see, if you have not trusted by faith in Jesus, then you will probably be worried about where you are buried. you'll probably think that's something special because you have no security. The only security you have is in your life today. Well, I'll tell you what, my security and my hope is in the life to come, which is in Jesus Christ. And I love proclaiming His Word. I love living each day for Jesus Christ because He is my Savior. I have come by faith to Jesus. I have bowed down before Him and asked Him to come into my heart and to save me and to forgive me of my sins. And once you do that and you mean it, and the only way you can mean it is when the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. When you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And that's a day you'll never forget. Oh, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?